Called by name, takes a seat. It's kids camp time as well, so if you want to take the kids to camp, fine. All right. Well, a few years ago, when I had more hair, and you'll see, I had a chance to go to Israel. Incredible gift of being over there for a while and being able to, you know, just kind of see the sights and be able to get an idea of what it was like for Jesus to live in that area and be in those places where he was. And so this summer, what I thought we'd do is just kind of go to Israel. We'll just do a kind of a sightseeing trip, have a sightseeing summer of Israel. So you too can have hopefully some glimpse of what it's like and look at those places and then kind of unpack each place and understand what does that mean, not just that Jesus was there, but how does that filter into the place we are today in each of our lives? And, you know, unfortunately, the church budget isn't big enough to be able to put everybody on a plane, so we can't all go over there. So the best we can do is just kind of give you some pictures and a little video and kind of bring you along that way. So we're going to spend the summer just looking at these different sites in Israel and then thinking about, you know, what does that say to me in terms of where I am today? Sound like a plan? That's the summer deal. So today, if you watch the screen, we're going to go to June 6, 2007, 3 a.m. It wasn't 3 a.m. in Israel, but it was 3 a.m. somewhere, I'm sure.
A road. Many believe Jesus probably walked down this very road. While he was here, he was walking his path to fulfill God's will, right here before the temple. A road. Uneven, broken, cracked. We're all walking a road. We're all walking our path. Is it the same path, though? The path that led Jesus down this very road to fulfill everything that God desired for him. You know, God's got a desire for your life. He's got a road for you to walk. And it's to walk on the footsteps of Jesus, to walk this road, to walk to that place where you can experience God and fulfill his dream for your life. Join me on the road. Today we're going to talk about what path, what road are you walking on?
All right, what are we going to talk about today? The road. You can talk about the road. Yeah, no, we're not going to talk about the birds that you heard in the background. Brandon pointed that out last service. That loud birds. Never heard those before. But yeah, we're going to talk about the road. And just to give you a sense of where we were and where this road was, if you look at the screen, we'll try to use this highfalutin stuff here. Look at the screen, and it gives you a sense of where we were. And you can see over here is the Mount of Olives. And then there's the Kidron Valley right all the way along here. And remember that, because that'll become important as we go. Down here, it's kind of hard to see, but that's the old city of David down here. And that would also be the place where the upper room, where Jesus shared the meal with his disciples, would be. And then you see I got an arrow for you here. And you see this long wall right there. Right at that arrow, there is a gate. And you go through there, and then this is the Temple Mount, where the Dome of the Rock is right now. But that's where the temple, where Jesus would have gone. So it's right here at this gate where Jesus would have walked through to go to the road that we are on. And I got a picture of the gate. So show the gate. There you go. There's the gate. Does it look very big? Not very big, is it? I mean, try to get two semis through there at one time. It would be a challenge, right? Not very big. It's kind of a narrow gate. What's interesting about the gate is it's also called the Dung Gate. Yeah, that's right. You heard it right. It's called the Dung Gate. Any idea why it's called the Dung Gate? It's pretty simple. Guess what they hauled out of there, right? That's where they hauled it all out from the city, right? Then if you go to look where that road that we were on actually is, it's right there at the end of the arrow. So the Dung Gate is over here, and then you come in, and then they've dug all this out. The archaeologists have been doing their digging, and they dug way down. And at the bottom of this big wall here, they found this road. And this, by the way, right there, that's the Wailing Wall that you hear and see so much about. So you can see how close we are. The Temple Mount's right up here. And so where we were walking was right there. And what the archaeologists did is they just dug down, and they found this road. And they believe that this is probably the road. I mean, it's probably the road that Jesus himself walked on. You know, that as he was, you know, over at the upper room, or as he was over in that old city of David, that when he came into Jerusalem to go up to the temple, that he probably, you know, came in the dung gate and then probably, you know, walked on that road. To give you a better sense of what it was like when we were there and see how far they dug down, you look at the next picture here. There you go. And you can see how it's all, you know, excavated and layers dug out and the steps going down, down, down. And so we were down at the bottom of that wall. So if you look at the next picture, there you go. You can see how far down we were compared to up, right? Yeah. Well, but that's the road right there. That's the road that we were on. And, you know, it was really awesome kind of standing there, walking on that road and thinking about it that, you know, wow, this is probably the road that Jesus walked on. You know, he probably came in the dung gate and he was headed to the temple, and the day he came in to turn over the table of the money changers, you know, he probably walked on this road. It was just kind of an amazing kind of feeling to think about the reality of walking on that same road that Jesus had walked on. But if you think about that even further, you know, is it so different from what you do and the opportunity you have every day as a follower of Christ? I mean, think about it. I mean, that's a road. It's over in Jerusalem. And yeah, historically, it's probably the place where Jesus walked. And that's awesome and interesting and fascinating and all that stuff. But you know what? The real difference is when you start thinking about what road are you walking on today? When you go into the scripture, Jesus gives us a pretty clear challenge to think about what road are we spending our time on, how we're spending our lives. If you go into Matthew 7, he says this, "Go in through the narrow gate. The gate to destruction is wide, and the road that leads there is easy to follow. A lot of people go through that gate. But the gate to life is very narrow. The road that leads there is so hard to follow that only a few people find it." If you look at the Message, I don't know if any of you read the paraphrase, the Message, they have kind of an interesting paraphrase of that same verse. Here's what it says. "Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market's flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention." Obviously, he's seen all those commercials you've seen, right? How easy, and just do this, and it's quick and it's fast. But that's not the picture that Jesus gives us when he talks about a gate and a road. What he's doing in that Matthew 7 text is obviously drawing a contrast, right? He's talking about, well, there's this wide gate and there's this narrow gate. And there's this easy road and there's this hard road. And there's a road that leads to destruction and there's a road that leads to life. Isn't that what he's doing? He's kind of laying before us a simple distinction that we can wrap our heads and hearts around to say, look, here's just the simple reality of the way you approach things. It's just, there's a gate, and it's either wide or it's narrow. And there's a road, and it's either easy or it's hard. And there's either destruction or there's life. He kind of simplifies it and narrows it down that easily. What it means to us is everybody in this room right now is walking on a road. I mean, you're all walking on a road, right? You're all walking a road. Every one of our kids that are back there in kids camp, they're already walking on a road. All of our young people, the young people that are graduating over these weekends from high schools and colleges and, you know, achievements, they're walking on a road. All you moms and dads out there, you're walking on a road. All you retired folks out there, you're walking on a road. Isn't it just simple? The reality, everybody is walking on the road. So the real question that Jesus puts in front of us is, what road are you walking on? As he draws the distinction, he's saying very clearly, look, there's just kind of two paths. There's two ways, and that's it. You're either walking on this path or you're walking on this path. So which road are you walking on? And we can understand people that simple in that way. It's simply, look, when you meet somebody, one of the hard questions is, what road are they walking on? They're either walking on this one or they're walking on that one. For us, for those who Jesus Christ has already come into their heart and their life, for us, the challenge is to make sure that we are on the narrow road, even though it's hard. But that we are on that narrow road. That's the call for us to walk on the road, in the very same road that Jesus walked on, right? To walk on that same road. I mean, like I said, it was pretty cool standing there in Israel. I mean, it was kind of awesome experiencing that. But you know what? When you wake up tomorrow morning, you got to ask yourself, how am I going to spend my day and on what road am I going to walk? It's that easy. And it's that hard. How do we do this? How do we accomplish this? Well, it seems to me that in the text, in the scripture, for us to stay on this road and get on this road, it's a call for us to have a very narrow focus. Remember, he said there are two kind of gates. There is a wide gate and a, you can say it, narrow gate, right? Wide gate, narrow gate. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem, he went through the dung gate, kind of that narrow gate. There is no question that when he went through his ministry, he kept a very narrow focus, didn't he? I mean, he didn't get distracted by a lot of things. He didn't get pulled this way and pulled that way and pulled this way and pulled that way. I mean, he was kind of on focus and narrow focus the whole time. And his focus was very simple. I am here to do the will of the Father. Right? I'm just here to do the will of the Father. And that's the road that I've been set upon. And that's the path that I'm going to walk. Every day when he got up and he went through the dung gate and he went onto that road and he went into Jerusalem, he went on that same path of saying, it's not just a road. Look, my path is to do the will of whatever the Father wants. When we get on the right road, we're on that road that has that narrow focus. We're not here to be everything to everybody. We are here simply to be that person that lives faithful, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and to bring glory to God. That's why we're here. And we need to understand that as we walk through life and we put our footsteps into the footsteps of Jesus, we're here to be just like him and to stay focused on what it is God wants us to do in life. All you young folks out there that are graduating, you got to get your head around that one, right? As you move on to this new step, as you have this achievement in life and you look forward to what's next, you have to make sure whatever's next is on the right road, that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. Because remember, Jesus described the roads, and one led to destruction and one led to life. The one that leads to life is the one that Jesus walked. If you want to have an incredible life, if you want to have the life that God's prepared for you, you got to get on the same road and have the same focus, that you're here to do, just like Jesus, to live to the glory of the Father. If you go into the scripture, it says in Hebrews 2, we must give our full attention to what we were told so we won't, what? Drift away. Isn't that a great image? So we won't drift away. What's the temptation we face? To just drift away. I mean, isn't it so easy out there in your daily world, in your daily walk, to get kind of drifted off into something else? I mean, to just kind of get pulled away into something else. I mean, how many of you are on your job and you've given a task for the day and you get focused on that task, but then a coworker comes in and pops their head in and says, oh, I need help with this. And then somebody else in the afternoon comes and says, well, I need some help with this. And somebody else comes along and says, oh, I need your advice on that. And by the time you're at the end of the day, you look at what you started to get done in the day and what did you achieve? Not much. Why? Because you got drifted away. You see, the world is out there working to try to drift us away from the narrow road of the purposes of what God wants to achieve in our life. We need to stay focused, like Jesus stayed focused. When he came in focused to do everything that God wanted him to do. Not what everybody else wanted him to do. He stayed focused on what God wanted him to do. Deuteronomy 4 says this. You must be very careful not to forget the things you have seen God do for you. Keep reminding yourselves and tell your children and your grandchildren. What are we supposed to do? Keep reminding ourselves what God wants us to do. That simple, right? Keep reminding yourself. One of the things my mom used to do is, you know, when I was in those teenage years and had my license and everything, and it was Friday night or Saturday night, time to go out and be a teenager, high schooler and all that stuff. The last thing she'd say before I'd leave the house, She'd always stop me before I'd leave the house. She'd stop me and she'd look me square in the eye and she'd say, "Son, remember who you are. Remember who you are." Now, what was she doing? Why would she do that? Well, she was asking me to remember. Remember, just like the text. Remember who I was brought up to be. Not just who I am, but remember who I was brought up to be. See? Well, the same is true for us. You see, when we get on that right road, it's to stay focused on that road, to remember who God created you to be. Don't give in to all the other stuff that can drift you away. Stay focused on remembering who God created you to be. As you young people move forward in life, you are going to have so many opportunities that are going to pull you in so many different directions. And you got to make sure you're on that road that says, "Wait a minute, I remember. This is who God created me to be. This is the person I am in Christ. And this is the person I'm going to be." Now, that's not easy. It's staying focused, but it's not easy. It will take perseverance. You have to focus on perseverance. It's going to take perseverance. I love when the Bible is so absolutely honest with us about everything. In the text, when Jesus described the roads, right? He said there's a wide road and there's a narrow road. And when he described the wide road, he said it was easy, didn't he? What did he say about the narrow road? It is hard. Is that what he said? He said it's hard. He's just being honest with you. Look, it's hard. It may be the way to life. It's the only way to really live. It's the only way to have an incredible life in God. But guess what? It's going to be hard. It's just going to be hard. You are going to face challenges in your life. You're going to face disappointments in your life. You're going to face some discouragement in your life. You know what? Following this narrow road, it's going to be hard. But remember, it's the only way that leads to life. The easy way leads to destruction. It's always been that way. When Jesus walked down that road that I was in Jerusalem, when he came from that old city and he walked through the dung gate, he walked over to the temple, do you think that was easy? Every time he walked in Jerusalem, what was going on? Oh, every time he walked into town, there were people out there that were trying to trip him up and trick him. Every time he walked into town, there were people who were listening to every word he said, trying to accuse him of something. Every time he walked into town, they were out to get him any way they possibly could. Was it easy for him to walk into town? It's hard. But he knew that was the focus of what God wanted him to accomplish in life, to be faithful to the purposes of God. He faced even the hard things. And he went into the temple and he turned over the money changers' tables. And that was hard and scary, but he did it anyway. Because he was more focused on being faithful and persevering in the purposes of God. The early church had the same thing. If you go to Acts 14, you can hear it in their voice. It says, they encouraged the followers and they begged them to remain faithful. They told them, we have to suffer a lot before we can get into God's kingdom. What did they have to suffer? A lot. Did you see that? See, we have to make sure we understand that as we walk this narrow road, it's the road to life, but it's going to be challenging. And the world out there is awful tempting, and it's awful easy to get caught up in the things of the world. It's awful easy to go the way the world wants you to go. I mean, think about this image. If Jesus says, look, there is a wide road, and it's easy, and there's lots of people on it, and there's a narrow road, and it's hard, but there's not many people on it. What's the image? Well, the image is there's lots of people on one road going this way. Lots of people. But there's a few people on a road going this way. And you got to work your way through all those people and stay faithful. Isn't that what it is? It means for us that we don't go with the flow. Young people, as you graduate, as you move on in life, you got to make sure you get it, you understand it, and you know you are not here to please other people in the world. You are here to please God. And that means you stand up and you stand out and you stay focused and you persevere for the purposes of God in your life. That's why you were baptized. That's why you were baptized. Your parents brought you to that baptismal font so water could be poured on you and you could be claimed by God in that moment and that God would be the strength and the purpose of your life. And as you move on to whatever God has in store for you, you got to get ready. There's going to be a lot of people out there going a different direction. And you got to persevere. Persevere in the direction that God sets for you, not what the world sets for you. Hebrews 10 says, learn to be patient. It says you will please God and be given what He has promised. Stay on the road that Jesus walked. What's that road do? The road Jesus walked always focuses forward. It always focuses forward. It always looks at what the next opportunity is for God to work in your life. If you look at an experience out of the Gospel of Luke where Jesus has three interactions, okay, and we'll unpack them, but he has three interactions as he's walking the road. First one, along the way, someone said to Jesus, I'll go anywhere with you. Boy, is that a blanket statement. I'll just do anything. Lord, I'll go anywhere with you. Jesus said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to call his own. What did he just tell him? You know what you're getting into? It's hard. It's hard. He follows up. Jesus told someone else to come with him. But the man said, Lord, let me wait until I bury my father. Jesus answered him, let the dead take care of the dead while you go and tell about God's kingdom. What did he challenge him with? Move forward. Move forward. There's more important stuff for you to do in the future than what's in your past. Move forward. There's more important stuff for you to focus on in the future that God's for you, got for you, instead of what's been in your past. In the last experience, then someone said to him, I want to go with you, Lord, but first let me go where? Back. Do you see that? First let me go back and take care of the things at home. Jesus answered, anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing in the kingdom of God. Where does he want us to look? Isn't it? Does he want us to go forward? Saying, don't mess around with what's behind. I've forgiven what's behind. You got to go forward. When you're on the road that Jesus walks, you persevere, you stay focused on what God wants, and you keep moving forward. There was a company in Japan that wanted to make sure that they got the best, brightest, most dedicated talent they could possibly get. So they came up with this idea. They put an ad in the paper for all the positions they had available, and they published the salaries, which were really good. I mean, they're really great salaries. Okay, but they also said this. They appointed the day and the time of the interviews, and they said the interviews were going to take place at the top of Mount Fuji. Where? At the top of Mount Fuji. Okay? Which means if you're down here, you got to get from down here to where? The top of Mount Fuji. Not a simple task. But they want to make sure they had the most dedicated people. 50 people showed up. 50 people showed up on the interview day. It wasn't a good day. It was kind of, you know, rainy and cold. And 20 people finally decided to make the trek up the mountain. Of the 20 people, 11 people finally made it to the top of the mountain and interviewed for the jobs. Of the 11 people, they hired 4. How easy was that? You see, Jesus wants us to go forward. And we're going to meet challenges. We're going to meet discouragement, disappointment. But if we stay focused on persevering and doing the next thing, remembering his promises, we will get the life he wants for us. And that's the key, to get the life that he wants for us. If you go into Joshua 1, before the people went in to take the land, God gives them incredible words of promise. He says, long ago, I promised the ancestors of Israel that I would give this land to their descendants. So do what? Be strong and brave. Oh, come on, you can say that with me. Very strong and brave, can't you? So, be strong and brave. What's he want you to do? Well, he wants you to be strong and brave, doesn't he? Thank you. That's what I need right there. Be strong and brave, right? You're walking on the road that Jesus put you on. You're not walking on any road. You're walking on a road Jesus put you on. Be strong, be brave. What's in front of you is what God wants for you. Wait a minute. You're on Jesus' road. Be strong, be brave. This is what life is about. You see, he was bringing him to the land he promised him a long time ago. And God always fulfills his promises. So he says, look, Long ago I promised this, so now be strong, be brave. Be careful to do everything my servant Moses taught you. Never stop reading the book of the law that he gave you. Day and night you should think about what it says. You should obey it completely. And you and all Israel be able to take this land. What's he want to remind them? Look, focus on the word. Focus on the promise. And move forward on the right road. Because God always fulfills his promises. He says, I've commanded you to be strong and be brave. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged. Why? Because I am the Lord your God. And I'll be there, and I'll help you wherever you go. What a promise. Isn't that an incredible promise? Young people, as you're graduating today, as you're moving on to whatever the future has, what God wants in your life, you got to hold on to that promise. You got to hold on to that promise. That when you're on that road that Jesus walked, that that road is a road where he still walks. And when you're on that road, you don't take one footstep without him walking with you. You don't meet one hardship without him being in the middle of it. And you don't experience one joy without him rejoicing with you. Isn't that awesome? When I was over there in Israel walking down that road, it was a great experience. It was awesome. But it just simply reminded me that the road we're called to walk on is not a road over there. It's a road right here. It's a road you're called to walk on every single day. Walk on the road God has prepared for you. Walk on the road confident in God's promises and move forward to that incredible life he has for you. Let's pray. Father, thanks for the day. Thanks for the road that you prepare. Not just a road made out of stone and bricks, but a road that was paved with your blood and your sacrifice. A road that was made by you lay down your life for each one of us. So we ask today, keep us focused on that road. Keep us in that place that you want us to be. Help us to be that people of life, that people that live strong and brave in your name. We ask this through Jesus. Amen.